that peace before God the Father. Freedom from anxiety, freedom from worry, freedom from that anxiousness. Contentment and real quietness of heart.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Once again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today, joining us on the broadcast. We look forward to hearing your voice. 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. In just a moment, we'll start taking our callers. We're thankful for you to hang in there. Give me another moment. We'll listen to your conversation, your questions in relationship to what we're talking about. We're talking about the dual enemy, the enemies within. It's not a matter of the enemy coming. It's not a matter of the enemy approaching. It's not a matter of looking out for the potential of the enemy. We already have the two enemies. The enemy is, number one, Islam, and number two, communism. One and two, you can put one for the first and one for the second. It doesn't make any difference. Both the enemies on the equal level of wanting to tear down and destroy, to eviscerate the Constitutional Republic. And if that's done, ladies and gentlemen, listen, you might say, well, why should you be alarmed? Why should we be alarmed as a Christian? If either of those enemies dominate in America, our Constitutional Republic's gone. That means we have no Bill of Rights, we have no freedom of speech, no religious liberties, no opportunity for a church, no opportunity for the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the airways, no opportunity to have a church, no opportunity to print gospel material and deliver it and pass it out. You can go to any Islamic nation you want to. You can go to any communist nation you'd like to find, and you'll find that the Christian, the Bible, are all those things that you cannot have in those nations. It is a matter, ladies and gentlemen, of recognizing the danger that we're faced with the dual enemy that's already within the gates. I'm looking at a headline, President Trump calls communism the most serious threat to America's nation since its founding. I'm looking at another headline, importing people that hate America, radical Islam infiltrating the Democratic Party. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a Democratic Party today that's no longer the Democratic Party. You can go back and look at what the Democratic Party was under President John Kennedy, and you'll find it. And I don't agree with everything that he did. John Kennedy was more conservative as a 60s Democrat than most Republicans are today. But you go back to what was the Democratic Party, no longer the Democratic Party. Democrats do not stand for morals. They do not stand for ethics. They do not stand for values. They embrace everything that's immoral, ungodly, unholy, and most of all, they embrace that which is destroying, eviscerating the very foundation of our nation. I'm alarmed by it. We have a Democratic Party today that's split. You have a faction therein that's embracing Islam. You have a faction that is totally embracing the Socialist Marxist Communist Party. You have a faction that's embracing the murder by way of abortion, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, the transgenderism, et cetera, that was promulgated, pushed, bought, and paid for, and spread abroad by the Biden, autopen Biden administration. We need to recognize the danger that looms ahead, lest we're awakened from our slumber and we do what the Bible says. Jude 3 very clearly says, I exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That earnestly contend means to fight for, to wrestle for, to contend for, to hold on to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. Good afternoon, number one. And it is sad to say, but these young people, if we don't get out, if the churches don't get out and vote, our republic is gone.
Yes.
And I believe they don't understand that, how serious this election is.
Brother, you're exactly right. And may I just interject a little young blood parenthetical footnote? It doesn't make any difference if it's a black Christian, a white Christian, a yellow Christian, a brown Christian. It doesn't make any difference. If you're a conservative, it doesn't make any difference about the tonation of the skin. We need to recognize that our nation and our liberties are at stake. It is the reality that we're at that juncture in society that either we do something to stand up and stop it. For example, right here in the state of Florida, our governor has so boldly stated publicly and had, I believe it was legislation passed or a resolution or just by executive order, designated the Council on American Islamic Relations as a terrorist organization, designated the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. And 2006 with the giant trial that took place in a federal trial. It was based on the Islamics in America collecting funds supposedly for the Holy Land. It was called the Holy Land Trial, and they were using it to fund ISIS. And even right here now in our city, where there's an individual that's part of the Human Relations Commission for this dear mayor that we presently have, that was one of the ones that was an unindicted co-conspirator in the foundation that was tried, convicted 2006. So I believe we need to recognize what we have and embrace the truth of the Word of God, embrace the faith that was once delivered, and stand up and speak up. I believe it's time Christians awaken out of the slumber and recognize that it's left up to the Christians in the voting in November to save America. You couldn't have said it any more simplistically, Kenneth, and I'm thankful for you. Thank you so much for your calling. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Marshall is on the line. Marshall, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Doc, and I want to make this very, very brief and let others have their say this morning. I'm going to beat a drum that's my drum. I beat it often. You're aware of it. And it's not popular. But it is exactly on topic with what you're talking about. Your topic, the enemy within. I hold in my hand right now a book from my rather large library by David Horowitz called, guess what? The Enemy Within. And in just the cover of this book, we have the answer to two questions. What is the problem? And two, what is the cause of the problem?
Mm-hmm.
That said, as I look at this cover of the book printed by David Horowitz a couple of years ago, and I like the man. I've got some of his books, and he's really good. There are seven people on the cover. You have a really lovely, lovely picture of a princess named Elizabeth Warren, and then another lovely
Pocahontas,
Nancy Pelosi, and then Kali Mala, named that after the Indian goddess, Kali Mala Harris, and then we have herself, Miss AOC, Ocasio-Cortez, and then the last one, Ilhan Omar. So that's five. The other two pictures are that great intellectual from the Northeast, Bernie Sanders, and Chuck Schumer. So that's five gals and one and two males. They are the enemy within. These are the people that have embraced Satan's perfidy. And their desire to destroy America and have it subsumed into the world order. But the fact is, it's five women and it's two men. What happened in New York? Who, as you said yesterday on your show, I believe, who elected Zoran Mondami, 70% voting?
Mm-hmm.
It was college-educated, young liberal females. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Okay. All right. Our problem, the problem of the two things I want to hammer quickly, the problem is the feminization of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Bible record is clear and the human historical record is clear. When men fail in their leadership, sort of like Roosevelt did when he allowed his wife to be the 32nd president of this nation, when male leadership fails, liberal, godless females come in and redirect the culture to its death. And that's perfectly laid out in the decline and fall of the Roman Empire.
That's right. Absolutely.
Very, very clear that that happened. Now, the last statement is, what is the cause of the problem? The cause of the problem of the enemy within and having five females on the cover and two liberal, horrible males that are not men is the failure of real men to stand up and do what they're supposed to do. And you've been beating that drum. And that's what I want to come back to. Men better get out and vote in this election. Men better get their rusty dusties back in church under pastors who are preaching what is happening. We are at war, and men are the warriors, and we ain't being the warriors we're supposed to be. Shame on us. So David Horowitz has to write a book, The Enemy Within, to point out what our nation has now become because of failed male leadership. End of dissertation.
Absolutely. Marshall, you're exactly right. And I would couch it this way. The seven that you named, they are, they were, and they are the gatekeepers that have opened the gates, embraced this enemy within, and brought them in. They have brought them to their chest, and they have, how would you say, touted them as being okay. And you have also those like Rick Warren, where embraced Islam, allowed the Islamic imams to come into his pulpit and have the Islamic call to prayer. And he coined the term, said Islam is a sister religion. It is called Chrislam under Rick Warren's ideological bent. It's that that is part of the spoilage from the pulpits. And as you know, the Bible is very clear. Judgment begins at the house of God. And I believe that we can start at the very very platforms of the pulpits across America and point the finger without any reason to think that we would be wrong. That it's because the lack of male leadership in the pulpit preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it applies in the world today and the enemies that's out there and what we need to do. Marshall, it demands our prayer and our concentration, and even with that, it demands that Christians vet the candidates and vote for the candidate that nearest meets the Word of God and that candidate's position. Thank you so much for your calling. God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the enemies within. The enemies within happens to be Islam and communism. Islam and communism. As I said just a moment ago, headline that I'm looking at, President Trump calls communism the most serious threat since the nation's founding. I believe that we need to recognize that enemy and understand what is taking place, but at the same time recognize what's happening with the Islamics in our nation. Islamic groups have infiltrated our university system. Listen, in my research, I just discovered this. My research, I discovered that Islamic organizations and Islamic nations have contributed more, hear me, more than any other contributor to our colleges and universities in America. Hear me. Over $1 trillion. Over $1 trillion. Out of Islamic purses, Islamic organization, Islamic cultures, Islamic nations, Islamic funding into our universities today. They're controlling the courses being taught. They've invested more than $1 trillion in it, and they're expecting a return. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we're becoming more and more like Europe. Today, Islamic law is being imposed in all of Europe. It's called Sharia law. Sharia law. I'm looking at headline, importing people that hate America, radical Islam infiltrating the Democratic Party. Look at another headline. The mask is off. European Union hates Europeans, says activists trying to save the continent's culture from Muslim invasion. The lead line says, the commission gives every single migrant that asks a key to our home, but it denies us, this is the native citizens of Europe. the native people of Europe, the right to defend ourselves, not even against the murder of our own children. European activists looking to save their culture from an invasion of Arab and African immigration sounded the alarm about the European Commission claiming it actually hates the Europeans. Ladies and gentlemen, in London, England, there are streets that you cannot read the signs because it's Arabic. There are places in the city that even police, London police, will not dare to go. There are people that you see in the box blacked outfits that you cannot recognize. We need to understand the dangers that America faces if we do not do anything about it. But as our previous caller, Marshall, just said, we've got those seven in the lineup that's embracing the culture that is antithetical to our Constitution and the freedom that we have in our Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. The mask is off. The European Union hates the Europeans. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline that says, Islam has no place in the America's public life. But yet we find, I'll read that in a moment, we find that somehow, some way, there's a mindset that we can coexist. Listen, Islamics will not assimilate. Islamics will not join the group. They came to America with one goal, one ideology, one bent, one leaning. And listen, Islam is not a religion. It's an ideological bent. Islam in their mosque, it is not simply a place to bow and worship as they worship the false god Allah. It is the place of the war room. It's the place of the war planning. It's the place in many of the mosques where they house the war weapons, the instruments of war. It's a place where they do the planning and the scheduling of what they can do to take over and control and destroy America. I've listened to too many imams from around the globe by way of video clips and then the translation on the screen where they're screaming, kill all non-believers. They're quoting from Surah 2:191. Kill all non-believers wherever you find them. Kill them, such as the recompense of all non-Muslims. Ladies and gentlemen, if they believe the Quran, they follow the Quran. They want to kill every Christian, every Jew, every American, everyone that's in Israel. I believe Lisa's on the line. Lisa, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I don't know that people are really voting Democrat to vote for the Democrat system the way it is right now. I believe that there's so many Democrats that hate President Trump bad enough that they would either not go get up and vote than vote for him, but they don't really have a choice because the Democrats have allowed their party to be taken over. That's all I want to say right now.
Lisa, you're exactly right. In fact, I don't know what the issue was, but on yesterday there was some vote on the House floor. I've forgotten. I read the article, but 80% of the Democrats just didn't even show up. They had empty seats. Democrats didn't even show up to vote. That shows you what the party has done. It's declined from a party that's part of the system for America to uphold our Constitution, uphold our bylaws, et cetera, for the nation. But they have become the enemy within themselves. It is no longer a Democratic Party. It is the Socialist Marxist Communist Party under the banner of New Democrats. And as our previous caller talked about, the seven people that's on the front of the book, The Enemies Within, that talks about those, and Pocahontas is one of them, and the Socialist Marxist Communist Party is now standing up, speaking up under the banner of the Democratic Party. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that for tonight's speech with President Trump, the Democrats are petrified as to what he's going to say. They're petrified that he'll talk about the theft and prove the theft of the 2020 election. They're petrified, in my opinion, because I believe that President Trump is going to declare the Insurrection Act and use some type of martial law to police the voting, to make sure that the ballots are clean, to make sure that the ballots are not false, to make sure the ballots are properly counted so that we can have a clean election, since the Democrats have failed to stand with us to pass the SAVE Act to prepare for the November election, that we'll have a free election. I'm looking at headlines that says Islamification becomes public enemy number one for America. Survey shows it's the biggest concern, bigger than abortion, bigger than health care, bigger than Iran. Representative Randy Fine, Republican of Florida, told the Daily Signal that a recent campaign poll, he found many of his constituents view the rise of the Islamification of America and the Islamic rule as a top concern in our nation. I believe that that should be, listen, I believe that what we're seeing today, as we vet the candidates for every office, local, state, and national, we need to vet the candidates on the basis, first and foremost, how do you stand on the Communist Party, the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America? How do you stand on that? Should it be eradicated? Should it be? Should we allow that type to run for office? What about Islamification? We need to ask the candidates, do you believe that Islam is a danger to America? Do you believe that we need to say no Sharia law in America? I'm thankful that people like Randy Fine and Chip Roy and other representatives have come together with a group. I believe there's about 48 of the legislators in it now, representing about 28, 29 states, that says no Sharia law in America. This article reads, the mayor in February also called for a broader acceptance of the Prophet Muhammad on Islamic migration, talking about the mayor in one of the cities that is not in step with what the scripture says and what we need to do as Americans. Fine, that's the Republican representative. Respondents prioritized the issue above top, such as abortion, health care, etc. He says, I had to fight with my pollster because no one ever asked about the rise of Islam in America, and I wanted it placed on my survey. Fine said, Representative Fine, it was one of the largest issues people related to. My constituents believed it concerned them more than the war in Iran, it concerned them more than abortion, and more than anything else. Look at history of Islam is in one of its conquests, Fine said, describing why he believes the issue resonates with certain voters. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have reached a point of demarcation that the decision must be made that we're going to save America. God help us to save America with the wisdom that he gives, that we might recognize the dangers that are before us. It's an impossibility to sit in the easy chair and not vote. It's an impossibility to save America with that kind of mindset. I'm looking at an article. I believe we have, is Lily on the line? Lily, good morning. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Do I go ahead?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. I missed the early part of the program, but the topic is extremely important to me, so I'm glad to be able to at least my 2 cents contribution. I really, really, what was mentioned earlier on, it's really bad, really bad. England, where it is, and Canada, besides, and the rest of Europe, I think they have zeroed in on America now, as somebody said, probably the Islamic capital of the world. So I really think it's real. And you mentioned the power, money power, that they have gotten, taken over, get their power and from our university by taking over our universities and the minds of our young people. So what I find myself thinking now is that it's just completely gone, apart from the believers rising up, because I put the blame, a lot of the blame of what happening to America, the clergy, and in a lot of ways, the churches. Thank God for the few faithful ones who are paying attention and speaking up. But the thought has come to me, well, we really need only God's intervention to save America from where we sit on the verge of going. And
absolutely.
It's on its underway. But what I'm thinking that, yes, you could. I'm thinking that probably the one of the things we need to do at this time is, as the Lord said, the harvest is ripe and ready, reapers after you. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll raise up reapers.
Amen.
I think those Muslim enclaves in the country, those places that are taken over by Muslims, they need the Bible, they need evangelizing. So if God would, we could pray and ask God to raise up some young evangelists, raise up some power to evangelize.
Lily, you're exactly right. Our time's about out, and we've got some others we've got to talk with. But listen, you're saying either you're saying either get saved or get out. That's what we need to say to the Islamics.
That's
absolutely.
Right.
Lily,
that's
thank you so much for your call. Thank you, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a clip that I want us to listen to. My book is Islam Tolerant, chapter 25. It's a 325-page book, Is Islam Tolerant? And Gerrit Wilder, the parliamentarian out of the Netherlands, was the author of the chapter 25 in the book. And he's going to talk with us in just a moment. He warned America several years ago. Our legislators did not listen. He gives us another warning. I want us to listen very carefully, and I'll do a wrap-up with a comment afterwards.
Islamic jihadis are plotting against you here and all over the United States. They are not coming. They are already here. They have unpacked their bags, set up their cells, and are walking your streets. Okay. Islamic radicals have declared war on you. And listen to what they are saying. I just took a few examples. I could give you 100 examples. I chose a few. Like Uthman ibn Farouk, a Pakistani-born Californian who was recently speaking in Texas. And he said, the future is ours. America will be a Muslim country. Islam will enter every house. We are unapologetic. We are uncompromising. And listen to a sheikh at a Muslim conference here in America. He told his audience, Islam has a political mandate so that you can rule the society in which you find yourself. And sometimes you have to burn it down before you can rebuild. And we are at a moment of reckoning. We have to introduce an attitude of power. And in Michigan, Imam Isa Abdul Karim spoke in the same vein as the lecture in Detroit a few weeks ago. And he said, Muslims do not fear death. And he said it to explain why they do not fear to blow themselves up. And he said, this gives us power over them. And in Florida, a few weeks ago, another imam said, jihad is who we are. And my message to you, my dear friends, is please listen to these people. Heed their words. Do not make the fatal mistake many German Jews made in the 1930s by thinking they are just exaggerating for effect. Those people do not speak in metaphors. They mean every word they tell you. Take them literally. Because if you don't, this is what's going to happen. They will, and I'm not exaggerating, they will burn down your society. They will blow up themselves in the middle of your streets. These radicals hate America. They do not want to join the American dream. They want to end it. That's their agenda.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the words from Gerrit Wilder. I believe I could add to it just a very footnote before we close. When you're driving your automobile, the little yellow light comes on, bing, 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 warning, warning, warning. You can either turn the light off or you can recognize there's danger ahead and do something about it. We recognize the danger ahead. We need to pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways, ask God to heal our land. Thank you for joining us today. Look forward to joining you next time on Let's Face the Issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 90.